This is Tony from the A Minute to Midnight show, bringing you part 3 of an interview that I recorded with Joni Stahl in mid-January. This is probably the most controversial of the 3 parts, I would imagine. It will leave some people feeling a bit uncomfortable in places, I imagine. In fact, to be honest, while I was recording it, it was leaving me feeling somewhat uncomfortable at times. But the point here is, I think it's a message that we all need to hear and do with it. Well, take it to the Lord and see what he suggests to you that you do with it. There are a few places where the audio is a wee bit glitchy. There's also places where it's a wee bit disjointed due to the fact that we were cut off multiple times while doing this part of the recording. But bear with it. There's certainly some very interesting stuff in there that I think we should all hear. Okay, so we're talking with Joni Stahl, and you can find her information, her prophetic dreams and visions at z3news.com. Okay, now I want to look here. You had back on December 19th, and this is pretty controversial, I would say. You say Obama orders beheading of Christians. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're backtracking to that. Now, I know this is really throws a cat amongst the pigeons, this one. So the pre-tribbers won't like it because they will say, oh, but they're expecting they'll be out of here before that happens. And the second thing that it brings up is obviously the question of, is Obama the biblical antichrist or man of lawlessness? Or could it be that he is only perhaps a lesser antichrist figure who himself is working for and following a greater antichrist? Or could he be the king of like a region of the world, or the New World Order, but not the actual final Antichrist himself? So I'm interested to know what your thoughts are on this, and perhaps you could talk about the actual dream.
Yeah, I'd love to actually talk about that. I mean, I find all these things exciting and necessary. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, when I had that vision, which I'll tell you in like 2 seconds, you know, I did think, well, wait a minute, like if I believing in a pre-trib, what does that mean? But that brings me back to the Lord telling me, you know what? Just receive the dream. Say it like you heard it. This is no in any way, you know, meant to say you have to believe this way or believe that way. You know, I respect the beliefs of everybody. If you want to take a pre-trib, post-trib, you know, mid-trib, you know.
Yeah, I think it's been way too divisive, that issue.
I don't even want to go there. No. You know, I'm just going to talk, because look at bottom line, he's going to do what he's going to do, right? Like no matter what I believe, no matter what the next guy believes, Tony, Jesus is going to come again, right?
I think back to Derek Prince, who I think was one of the greatest Bible teachers of the 20th century. He had a teaching on just about everything, but when it came to the timing of the rapture, he was asked, when are you pre, middle, post? And he basically said, I don't know. So I'm kind of, yeah, I don't like to go too much. I tend to lean more towards post-trib, but I think, as far as I'm concerned, be prepared to go all the way, and if God takes you out earlier through a rapture, then you've lost nothing.
I agree.
But so anyway, we won't go too much into that. So
yeah, I totally agree. Just to cap off what you said, like I won't get into it with anybody because I believe, like you said, it's been too divisive. And I don't believe that's where the Lord wants me. I respect you. Want to believe it or ever you're going to believe, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's it. Yeah. So anyway, this is the dream I had. And it was so real, like seriously, like I can still feel it. So in my dream, I saw myself standing on a stage, and it was a vast stage, okay? And like there was nothing on it, but it was enormous, like just colossal, like maybe the size of a quarter of a football field, like ridiculous. And there was nothing on it. It was bare. And I saw in front of me a man, and he was seated on a big throne. Like, you know how like a throne would look, like a high back and big arm stays. It was a classic throne thing. But I was like, where am I? So I glanced at him for a minute and I looked at him and I noticed he was wearing a suit, and he was a black man. But I looked away really fast because immediately to my right, there was these two wicked men, like that prosecutor in that dream. They were just like him exactly. And they were arguing to him, that man seated on that throne. They were arguing to him why, like, my crime, like I was this, like this crime that deserved, like it was such a high crime. I felt in that dream that I committed such a high crime that it had to go before him personally, and that the punishment that was due for this particular very high crime could only be authorized by him. And they were like spitting nails. They were so like arguing it, this case. And then as soon as it was done, they were done, there was a silence. And then I stopped looking at the men because they were terrifying looking. And I looked at the man seated on that throne, and I know who I saw. I saw Barack Obama. And he had, that, of course, this cold of, he just looked, he kind of had like a kind of a little bit of a smile on his face, but he nodded yes, like a very slow nod yes. And right then I didn't realize it, and I heard, I was in a stadium, and I looked and I heard, you know what it sounds like at Super Bowl when everybody's screaming at the same time when somebody does a touchdown? It was like that, Tony. There was that many people. I was in a stadium that big. And when he nodded for my, what was coming, everybody was like so loud. They were cheering. And I just looked all around me.
Reminds me of the old Roman Empire and the games.
Exactly. And right then I heard something like they were hurrying. I heard noise behind me like they were rushing with something. And right when that was happening, when the people were screaming, I had this force of power come into my body where I was full of this power of peace that no earthly feeling, not even any time I've ever had that power of peace from the Holy Spirit, have I ever felt it. And it was something so powerful and potent. And I was saying to myself, I am about to die, and I'm full of power and full of joy. I don't understand it. And it kept growing, and I couldn't even contain it. And a man came running behind me with this huge sword, and he said, "Kneel down." And I knelt down, and I remember it was pumping in me this power. And I looked up and I said, "I am ready, Lord." And right then he said, "Bow your head." And I bowed my head, and I felt that thing go into my neck, and I woke up.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. Yep. Uh-huh, yeah. Yes, I guess a lot of people will find that quite hard to handle, thinking, you know, of being martyred, particularly most people that hold a pre-trib type of view. But I think we need to be prepared for any eventuality and not love our lives unto death.
Well, I think, you know, it's going to come down to it. I mean, first of all, this whole post, pre, mid gets in the way.
Yeah.
God is trying to just speak to his people at this point, Tony. This is the whole point of this conversation I'm having with you. He's trying to just speak to his people because he loves them. He loves us. And he understands, and he's trying to do something with us. And so all this, you know, well, I'll prove it right here and I'll prove it right there. It's like, it has done nothing but caused so much divisiveness. You know, this is really, really, you know, I'm not saying I'm feeling it in the spirit right now, but like through this last week that I was feeling it, that is really grieving the heart of God. You know, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that will be yelling and calling me names. I don't care. You know, I don't have anything against anybody. I'm going to love everybody still. I love my enemies. You know, I love them. I don't have anything against them. We're all in this together, you know? And so we have to understand our only enemy is the enemy, Satan. And he has something to fulfill, just like he did during Jesus' day when Jesus said, you know, this is his hour and his power. Well, this is the enemy's power. He's getting ready to, here's something that I wanted to touch on. You were talking about Obama, right? Like, is he the Antichrist? Is he a forerunner? Is he going to be one of the kings of the 10 federated nations, yeah. right?
Yeah, that's what I was definitely thinking along those lines, wondering myself, yep.
I personally at this point, I don't see him, like, okay, I'll put it this way. Let me just use this as an antithetical example. Remember when Jesus, he shows up one day to get baptized, right? Well, I mean, come on. We know who John the Baptist was. It was his older cousin.
Yeah.
Well, they've been around each other forever. For what, 30 years?
Yeah.
With each other, 30 years. Ate, went to temple, lived in the same village, whatever. You know, maybe not, whatever. But they knew each other. But he was not revealed until that moment when the Lord said, whom? Remember, he said, behold the Lamb of God. In that moment, the Holy Spirit allowed him to be known right then as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember, he said, whom you see the Spirit land, you know, come down from heaven and remain on is he. He's the one. Okay?
Yes.
So there was a moment of his revealing, correct? I mean, wouldn't you agree with me?
Yes, totally. Right.
I believe it's going to be the same way. If we're going to look at it in the fact, could Obama be the Antichrist? He very well could be. In the regard that, you know, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, when the restrainer is taken out of the way, then cometh that wicked, right? Who will be known by his lying signs, wonders, and wickedness, all right? So he's going to be known. But it says the restrainer is going to be taken out of the way. But I don't want to get into some theology thing here.
No.
What I'm talking about is a moment that he's realized, a moment that the whole world, and I believe it's going to happen with an entire global economic, not disaster, a catastrophe. Remember how it says, be careful that you do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life.
Yes.
But ever live to please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay? So there's going to be some of us who are going to have to tough some stuff out for the sake of the weaker. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's going to be younger people. They are not have been taught right. They've been saved. They're young. It could be older people that are young in the faith. But the Lord is showing me very clearly that those of us who have fought in battles, who have gained ground of authority, that we're going to be used. Remember it says in Daniel chapter 11, for they that have the understanding will instruct many. Right? Okay, you know what? See, you haven't come this far. I haven't come this far. I'm convinced of it. God said, we're alive for a purpose and for a reason. I tell you, it's not just to answer phones and welcome people at the club I work at.
Yeah.
That's just what I do because in the world I have to pay bills. Okay? But you know what? I'll tell you. I have a heart of a soldier. God gave me that heart. I know it sounds crazy. And it's not going to make sense to anybody. But you know I'm never so full of power, so full of the might of the Holy Spirit than when I'm in a battle. And it's hard. Let me tell you, it's not easy because you get attacked. I get attacked. I'm not inviting it even now. Neither do if I never fought another fight again, I'd be happy. But can I tell you, there enters in a power. And that's what the Lord wants everybody to know. See, what you're feeling right now, you're just feeling because nothing's happening. The Lord doesn't need to fill you full of power right now when all you're going to do is mop your floor or drive to work. But as the day is, so shall your strength be. You know, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 10, chapter 9 and 10, he talks about that when the Antichrist, there's a section in there, it's prophetic about when the Antichrist enters into the city, his armies enter into Jerusalem. And it says that there will be very few men left, but they will be given the strength of David and they will fight to the end. Do you understand what that means? That means the very same thing for us. Because you know, when Zechariah, when his foot touches down upon the Mount of Olives, and that mount splits from the east to the west and parts from the north to the south, That's going to be the same repeated thing of the Red Sea. But this time they're going to go through the mountain. But whoever is going to be left in that city, the Lord said, will be very few. But they're going to fight. And the Lord said, they're going to fight hand-to-hand combat. They're going to fight like they were during David's day. And then he's going to give them the power to fight as David did. Do you see, God is trying to direct our thoughts to not what you're feeling right now, the common life, but to expect this power to come upon us to do the impossible. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do the impossible. You mark his words, not mine. I'm just the messenger. I'm just a vessel. After we talk, I'm going to go to work and go on, you know, but he's very serious right now, you know. So back to Obama, here's what the Lord is telling me very clearly about Obama. And I heard it very clearly. He will leave office and he will be given the seat of the UN, the general UN general secretary. Will be given the authority to do that beheading that you saw, that I interpreted to you. That's what the Lord told me.
Ah, yeah, interesting. So it's really interesting. Just even in the last few days, it's come out about, you know, Netanyahu saying he would fight to try and stop Obama becoming head of the UN. But it's like that sort of come out of left field for many people.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, Tony. I mean, you've read the word, you know it. Okay. What does he want to do? There wants to be a land partition, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, you know how they're saying, well, we're going to, let's pray against that. Let's pray again. And I think to myself, that's like praying that the Antichrist will get saved. It says in Joel 2:3, it says, you know, during that throne of glory judgment, the valley of decision, he says he judges the nations because of what? He said, because they parted my land. In Daniel chapter 11, talking about the man of sin, you know, that he, you know, just his whole description, you know, that he serves the God of forces and the God of his fathers doesn't even know. He's a religious man. That is a religious man. But what does it say at the very end of his description? For he will part my glorious land. Yeah. Expect it to be parted. That's why Obama is going to go into that seat. So we better get on God's page and say, okay, these things, look, they're happening right in front of our face, Tony. Okay. So what does that mean for us? Start asking the Lord yourself. You know, I can say all these things. You know, there's a word in Jeremiah 23:28. It says, he that hath the dream, let him tell his dream. And he that hath a word, let him tell his word. Let him tell that word faithfully. For what is the wheat to the chaff? Is not my word a fire? And is not my word a hammer that breaks rocks? You see, his own word is going to demonstrate. It will demonstrate, because I'll tell you, he is the word. And you know what? Just as he started speaking to Abraham, and just like he finished speaking and showing revelation to John the Revelator, we're a continuance of that. He showed us all that, not so that we go, wow, that was really powerful. Look at what he showed him. We're supposed to be. Look, I'm in my 50s now. The old people dreaming dreams. I mean, I was dreaming it when I was younger, but I noticed, like, I used to be able to interpret dreams here and there when I was younger. And now this gift just all of a sudden just came in like, pow, it just came in where I hear a dream and I can see it. And I know, I mean, of course, there's some things if I can't interpret, I'll say, I don't know what that means, but I understand it right away. The emphasis is going to be you hearing from the Lord during this time for your safety. This is going to be a critical time. So that's basically definitely what I heard him say. Yeah.
You've been listening to Joan Stahl. You can find her prophetic blog entries at z3news.com. I suggest you go and have a look at them. So thank you, Joan. It's been great to interview you today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Seriously, it was the pleasure was all mine. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Cool, and we will definitely be keeping in touch and having you back again soon.
Looking forward to it. You have a great day.
Cheers, you too. That was part 3 of an interview recorded with Joni Stahl. Now, if you haven't already done so, I suggest that you subscribe to our A Minute to Midnight YouTube channel, because we'll have many more interesting guests and interviews and commentaries in the days ahead.